Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Silk or Joe Show, co-host Joe with you all today. Appreciate you all tuning in to this program on your weekends, such that they are. Why did I say such that they are, as if I'm patronizing you over how you spend your weekend? I guess if you're listening to this show, you can't be doing much. Anyway, the Silk or Joe Show comes to you courtesy of the Main Street Radio Network. So I want to thank them for letting this program come to you. And you can go to mainstreetradionetwork.com to find out more about the show, find out about the Al Nathan Show, which I host during the week. All there at mainstreetradionetwork.com, plus podcasts for both programs and an app for you Android users out there. mainstreetradionetwork.com, great resource. And, you know, while you're out there, honor the late Al Nathan by checking out alnathan.com, our other website, finding articles, op-eds, columns by him in there. And we... at least on the first website, mainstreetradionetwork.com, you'll find an app for Android users. I believe I mentioned that, but I got to keep mentioning that. Let's get some downloads. I don't actually have any way to track how many people download the app. I could do that if it was the Google Play Store, but to get an app on the Google Play Store, you need to find 20 people to test the app and pay a fee. Well, I personally don't know 20 people. I mean, I guess I could have sourced listeners to come and try out that app for us, but I didn't think about doing that. So anyway, it's not on the Google Play Store, and I don't really know how this process would work anyway. So yeah, mainstreetradionetwork.com. And there's a stream on that site and a stream on the app, and all that is courtesy of the Salem Radio Network who distribute this show. Not just that, but if you hear it on the radio or CRN Talk or wherever, it's courtesy of the Salem Radio Network, but not the podcast. We host those ourselves. And on these podcasts and all that, you'll hear, that's right, I got social media pages to pitch first. We have Facebook at Main Street Radio Network and X at Main Street Radio. And that's it. I mean, you can go to X at Al Nathan, I guess, but that website, social media page is more for the Al Nathan Show. But if you want to find out whether or not I'm hosting that day, then yeah, X at Al Nathan. That'll tell you who is hosting that day or not, if you want to listen to it, or if you decide you don't like me, but you like the other guy doing the show, John Hayward from Breitbart, that is the Al Nathan Show. He doesn't do this one. But if you decide you like him better, then you'll find out if he's hosting by X at Al Nathan. Anyway, got stuff to get to today. Of course, we have topics, not like the Al Nathan Show. We should do that, though, because that really helps orient me the way Al Nathan structured this program with topics and just kind of generally gave a skeleton of the show to stick to and look at. Anyway, so let's see where we at today. I'm just going to talk about this. Actually, a couple things to get to. Of course, the Lindsey Clancy trial, but there's something else going on as well that I didn't get to on the Al Nathan Show earlier this week, and that's this idea about racism, environmental racism, because power to Gary, Indiana wasn't restored on time. Now the city has a 76% black population, and that is they had the superstorm come through a while ago, beginning of the month, and it knocked out power for them. And it took a very long time to get that power back on, 2 weeks or so at least. Now, speaking personally, I have recollections of the first time I saw the Blair Witch Project. I love telling the story, is when the power was out because of a hurricane. And it was out for like a week and a half. And it was for my parents' house. It was out for a week and a half. For everyone else, it was out so long that the school system had been closed for 2 or 3 weeks because of how many people were without power after a hurricane came through. So this is, it's not unusual to have your power out this long, but it's become an issue of environmental racism. Now, here's the trouble, though. One of the compounding factors to power being restored is that it was a 2-week power outage. I guess they got it back up now. But, thousands are still without power as of 3 days ago. I guess it wasn't quite the beginning of the month. It was kind of the middle of the month that the storm came through. But they have this issue with getting the power back on. People were shooting at the utility workers. And we're being told that it's racism that these utility workers didn't give their lives in order to get power back on sooner. That's apparently the story that they're going with, the people who want to make, as the late Alan Nathan used to call them, bad faith assertions of racism. That is, obviously there is no racism here. These people just simply want to live, but apparently it's racist to live if you're a utility worker. And there's also tales about firemen and police officers. Well, of course, police officers get shot at, but firemen too, emergency responders, ambulances, all them get shot at too. And then people call it racist when communities where that sort of thing happens don't get the same services as peaceful communities, communities that don't shoot at utility workers and first responders. Well, gee, wonder what the connection is. But the trouble is, and this actually ties into this Lindsey Clancy matter, is that there's just this culture of no accountability. You are not responsible for your own actions, and your own actions should have no consequences. Maybe this ties in with the Islamic invasion of the United States, too, because at one point, Islamic scholars, like, I don't know, 1,000 years ago, decided that cause and effect are, it's not a concept. I don't exactly understand how they justify it because, you know, cause and effect, aside from being a great Star Trek episode, also happens to be how reality works, how life works. If I do an action, something happens. If I sit down on my butt, my body is still doing, is still reacting and decaying if I don't exercise. And so, you know, even doing nothing, you're still causing something to happen. It's a very simple concept. But Islamic scholars decided, nope, there's actually no correlation between an action you take and a result. And we're going back to that mentality, courtesy of feminism, I guess, but also the civil rights movement, where, you know, it became, instead of going for equality, they're going for equity, where you get equal outcomes no matter what you do, such as shooting at utility workers or strangling your kids if you're Lindsey Clancy. You still get equal outcomes. You still get to live your life, live your best life, live your truth, because everybody can have a bad day. But yes, in Gary, Indiana in particular, though, these cries of racism, and the city council and every electric company executive is black, from my research. But it's also racist because they won't fix the power while being shot. And I've seen multiple folks on social media, again, calling it environmental racism. It wasn't just one person. It's actually a buzzword, well, buzz phrase being thrown around by the left right now to describe this, totally ignoring the threat to people's lives that are just trying to fix stuff. And actually, a friend of mine used to, I don't know, not live in Gary, Indiana, but stayed there for a while. And she described the town as basically a sundown town. You know what those are, where there's anti-black laws or whatever, where basically if you're black, you got to be out of the town by sunset. Well, it's kind of like this, except it's black criminals rather than white racists running it. I am not doing good with the R's and W's right in that sentence. But it seems like a lot like the issue with pharmacies, really pulling out of black communities and folks suddenly complaining about it. You know, actually, Gateway Pundit, they published this article on Gary, Indiana on the 25th. And then on the 26th of this month, they had an article about a jack-in-the-box in a pharmacy in Los Angeles being broken into and mobbed by large groups of blacks. But police can't or won't do anything about that. So when businesses pull out of communities because of the looting, the black activists cry racism, just like when utility workers refuse to die to bring power to the largely black communities who are trying to kill them. And there's no accountability there. There's no one saying, well, here are the people that did it. We know who did it. Here they are. There's nothing like that. No one's talking. You know, it's like when I watch the news and I see this black on black murder, I know I'm not going to see a resolution to that unless police come up with, because there's always, if you have any information, call a crime line at 1-800-LOCK-YOU-UP. Well, no one does that. No one really does that. Because no one wants to hold their communities to account. Because just like with the Lindsey Clancy matter, to admit that one person in your community is flawed is to admit that you yourself could be flawed. And you're not going to do that. You got a good thing going here with this whole idea of no accountability. It means that your actions are just as innocent and pure as the next person. So no one can criticize you. And in fact, you are entitled, just for your gender or skin color or whatever, you are entitled to certain benefits that make you superior to others, because, boy, you get all these nice things that other people are not entitled to because they just happen to be born the wrong way. It's really racism and sexism. We just become, you know, we totally flipped the script on white males running society, and now we have this other opposite way where it's not like not exactly running the society, but our values are oriented towards empowering these people, that then what happens with it? You get zero accountability. You get utility workers shot at and excuses being made for why, oh, they're racist for not repairing things faster while under gunfire from the people that they're trying to restore power to. Or in the Lindsey Clancy case, you get folks saying that, yeah, a woman has a right to strangle their kids, or a woman can have a bad day and do it. We've got therapists and OBGYNs out there taking up her side. So, you know, when you have those kind of professions going in on it, and they're all women, you kind of see a pattern here of no accountability for anybody, but still equity. They still deserve the same things. You know, it's like they want what white people struggled for, what white males struggled for and built. They want that, but they don't want to actually get it themselves or suffer the consequences of failure like white people did throughout history. Anyway, folks, we got more Silker Joe Show after this break.
More bold flavors headed to Circle K as the convenience chain expands its partnership with one of America's most recognizable celebrity chefs, Guy Fieri. Circle K and celebrity chef Guy Fieri are expanding their successful partnership, bringing an exclusive lineup of Flavortown-inspired menu items to nearly 450 Circle K locations across Arizona and Nevada this month. The menu features four crave-worthy creations available only at Circle K, including the mac and cheese burger, sweet heat fried chicken and waffle sandwich, chicken royale sandwich with Swiss and jalapeno, and the hearty all-American-inspired breakfast burrito. The expansion builds on last year's successful launch in 10 northern states, giving even more customers a chance to enjoy Guy Fieri's signature bold, off-the-hook flavors for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, all without leaving the convenience store. For the nearest participating Circle K location and the latest deals, visit the Circle K app or website.
This could be another year of extreme weather. Hi, I'm Dr. Jen Quammen, president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Whether it's severe heat, storms, or forest fire smoke, it's important for pet owners to plan ahead. Here are some extreme weather tips. Check the forecast for severe weather in your area. On hot days, walk your dog early morning or at night and keep the air conditioning on at home with access to plenty of fresh water. Avoid intense outdoor activities when there's extreme heat or poor air quality. Never, ever leave your pet unattended in a car. Temperatures can rise within just a few minutes. Plan ahead with an evacuation plan and pet emergency kit, including several days food, medicine, first aid kit, and toys. Have your pet's medical records on hand and be sure that they are properly identified and microchipped. Contact your veterinarian if you have questions. There's much more valuable pet information available at avma.org. That's avma.org.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo. I love that music connects to people all over the country. But unfortunately, so does something else. Childhood hunger. 15 million kids struggle with hunger right here in America. And yet, every year, billions of pounds of surplus food in the U.S. go to waste instead of going to the children in need. Feeding America is working to change this. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks rescues this surplus of food to help provide meals to families in virtually every community in the United States, including yours. But they just can't do this alone. Join me in the fight against hunger in America. For more information on what you can do to get involved, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence, Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Silk Road Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for joining us this weekend. We are joined now by Chet Love. He is a Republican strategist and co-founder of Cornerstone Group International. Chet Love, appreciate you joining the show. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks so much for having me.
Yep, glad to have you. So you have this op-ed out that came out at the beginning of the month on the Washington Examiner titled, "We are spending trillions on the AI power grid. Our enemies are preparing to blow it up." And, you know, your argument in here about the targeting of our power grids and how we're seeing that kind of warfare going on, particularly between Ukraine and Russia. It reminds me of how during the first Trump administration, we were hearing about how vulnerable our power grid is to EMPs and stuff like that. Yet nothing seems to have been done to really harden it. I remember some steps being allegedly considered, but I don't know how far they got. What have you been seeing?
Well, I think we've been seeing a continual neglect in terms of our grid. I mean, we've just seen Gary, Indiana, out of power for the last 2 weeks, and the lawlessness that's been the result of that. So we certainly need to be focusing more on protecting Americans here at home, because our grid is vulnerable, and that was not a terrorist attack. And so if we had worse types of attacks, the impact that that could have to not just a localized city, but to an entire region in the country is absolutely significant, and is something that we definitely need to be paying attention to.
Yeah, and already we have states where they have stuff like rolling blackouts going on, like out in California. You know, they've let their electric grid get so neglected that, you know, they have to warn people at certain times of year, hey, don't expect to have your power on at night. And they've even issued warnings before about, you know, don't charge your electric vehicles. But now we're adding data centers on top of the load use that already they can't handle.
No, absolutely. And what most people don't realize is that in the United States, there's only three main power grids. You have the Eastern Interconnection, which covers most of the East Coast, so like the Rocky Mountains. You have the Western Interconnection, which is like the Rocky Mountains to the Pacific. And then you have Texas, you know, and ERCOT. And so, you know, a significant impact in terms of, you know, damage to that grid not just impacts, you know, one local community. I mean, you're literally talking about millions of people in this country who'd be without power. So this is a significant issue that we definitely need to be taking seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, when was the last time we had a major blackout that showed the vulnerabilities of the grid? I think it was like 2003, where, you know, a bunch of states, because of a software glitch, ended up without power. And we still don't really have anything better than that system that was so prone to glitching. And as you said, we've only got three major providers here. So, you know, what happens now if we have a software glitch or a terrorist attack that inserts a software glitch? That's all they have to do.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, the Northeast blackout in 2003, I think it knocked out, like, it affected like 50 million people in the United States. So it's not a joke. It's very serious. And I do think that we need to be thoughtful about our overall energy mixture. I mean, I know that President Trump has focused a lot on drill, baby, drill. But the reality is that as we look at production of crude and natural gas, I mean, since the, you know, 2005, we haven't seen the massive increase that we were expecting. And so we definitely need to be thinking about alternative energy supplies, especially now that what we have going on in the Strait of Hormuz and the impact that that's having on global energy markets. The U.S. needs to be using an all-of-the-above strategy for energy, which has to include renewable energy back into that mixture.
Right. When it comes to oil, for example, and, you know, drill, baby, drill, basically, if you were to reopen an old oil plant that had been abandoned because of environmental regulations or something like that, that now Trump had cleared the way for, that'd be one thing. But if you're talking about building a new one, you know, there's still a whole permitting process and sort of thing that they have to go through. It could be years before new oil is finally drilled for.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we're actually seeing for a lot of these oil stocks is that there's just not the financial incentive, quite frankly, for these major oil companies to drill some of their best, maybe vacant land. Because if I take $100 million or $200 million, you know, and go and tap that oil refinery to increase production, what's actually going to be my return on my investment? And right now, the market's really just not supporting making that investment from some of those companies. So, again, I think ultimately right now we're in a very dangerous situation from the exposure to the grid, but also in terms of our overall oil supply, because we're drastically reducing our oil reserves right now to make up for the lack of supply due to the closing of the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah, and there was something about like a lack of maintenance under the Biden administration or something like that, which led to a lot of the oil being inaccessible or unusable. So we already have an issue with maintaining our own supply. Now, what outcomes do you see? Is there anything really in the short term, because we're dealing with this war with Iran right now, is there anything in the short term we can do in the midst of it that would be helpful?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Again, I think we have to keep looking at market-based incentives to look at all of the above strategy. You know, we still have not really seen the overall larger impact of what's happened in terms of the Strait of Hormuz, because again, supply chains and everything with oil takes a long time for those sort of bubbles to rise through the system. So we're still going to wait to see what that looks like. But I think in the interim period, what we need to be doing in the United States is seriously looking at what investing in the long term. We need to be investing in infrastructure, creating more jobs and opportunity for working class people. And we also need to be looking at how we can continue to put more energy production on the grid. And the fastest way to do that is typically going to be through some utility scale solar projects, which could be put up in a year. And that's creating more jobs and opportunity for individuals. And in this economy right now, that's really what from a federal and state level, all governments should be looking at, is how they can create more jobs, more opportunity, and create more energy abundance in the United States.
All right. Solar at this point, though, it's sort of a triage thing, because you know, the panels only last 20, 25 years. And then what happens to them after that? They got to go on a landfill or something because there's no way to actually recycle them. So really, it's like, you know, it's a temporary solution at best. And especially since solar is kind of reliant on certain climate conditions, like if you have a bunch of cloudy days, then there goes the solar. And we're seeing that in other nations that are more dependent on solar than they should be. So really, it should be part of a like you said, an above all solution. You know, throw some wind in there, throw some regular in there, or something, so that if one fails, there's redundancy in the system.
So absolutely. I think that what Europe has done has been irresponsible in terms of how they tried to manage their energy mixture and sort of force down certain ideologies instead of using market-based solutions to fix the problem. I think in all of the above strategy, including renewables, is the smart solution, because quite frankly, we're reducing our national reserve in terms of oil. At some point, once the Strait of Hormuz issue is resolved, we're still going to have to increase and refill that supply. And so the reality is to do that, you got to have an offset somewhere in terms of energy. And so having renewables that help meet some of the demand while we're still able to refill those reserves in the long term is going to be the responsible answer to managing those issues without causing major shocks or causing oil gas prices to go through the roof. So again, I think market-based solutions is certainly the way to go, always is the way to go. Ideological framing and trying to push things down people's throats is a terrible idea. We've seen that not work out in Europe, and they're definitely paying the price.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chet, love, appreciate you joining us. And where can our listeners find more of your work? We've got 15 seconds left.
Oh, yeah. Hey, check me out, cornerstonegi.com, and Chet is love across all social media.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the show. Listeners, something for you to check out during the break, but we got more Silk or Joe Show on the other side.
If you're one of the millions of Americans traveling with pets, it's a great idea to plan ahead. Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Bailey, past president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Before you take off on vacation, think about a visit to your veterinarian to make sure your pet is current on all vaccinations and medications. Here are some tips for smoother travel. Pack all your pet's needs, including extra water, medication, pet carrier, toys, and first aid kit. On road trips, offer your pet water, exercise, and bathroom breaks, and never, ever leave your pet alone in a parked car. In dog-friendly hotels, be considerate of other guests. Keep your dog on a leash. If flying with your pet, contact your airline about their pet travel policies before you arrive at the airport. Check with your veterinarian, make sure your pet is fit for travel, and think about boarding if there's a chance they might not be comfortable. There's more valuable pet information at avma.org.
This report is sponsored by IBM. A new study from the IBM Institute for Business Value reveals a growing disconnect between executive perceptions of AI progress and employee experience. Executives report AI-driven role change at twice the rate employees experience it. 81% say AI skills are rewarded, yet 43% of employees lack employer AI training, and 50% say AI obscures contributions. Aparna Nair, IBM's Chief Talent, Leadership, and Culture Officer.
The organizations that will lead in this era won't just be the ones with the best AI. They'll be the ones that invest equally in their workforce, making it clear when to trust or challenge the system, strengthening how managers coach decisions, and rewarding employees for using AI responsibly, not just using it quickly.
The study finds that organizations most likely to stand out, redesign workflows, enable managers to coach effectively, clarify decision-making, and align incentives alongside AI adoption. These organizations could see up to 73% higher revenue growth and an 11% operating margin advantage over their peers. To learn more, visit ibm.com/IBV.
Essential tremor and Parkinson's disease are progressive movement disorders that can interfere with daily activities, and symptoms can significantly impact quality of life. To share more, here's movement disorder specialist and behavioral neurologist, Dr. Philip Tipton.
I'm working with Boston Scientific to raise awareness of deep brain stimulation, or DBS, as a treatment option for essential tremor and Parkinson's disease. DBS works by sending mild electrical signals to a targeted portion of the brain through a small implanted device called a stimulator. These signals can help improve movement symptoms associated with Parkinson's disease and essential tremor. Boston Scientific's Versice Genus Deep Brain Stimulation System is an FDA-approved treatment option for Parkinson's disease and essential tremor. Talk to your doctor about the risks and benefits of deep brain stimulation and if it's the right option for you.
Learn more about Boston Scientific DBS therapy by visiting dbsandme.com. This message is brought to you by Boston Scientific.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Co-host Joe with you all today. Always a blast to be in with you all. And now, I scrolled right past my notes because I was looking for something else in here. There are other issues I got to get to, though. We have social media full of women saying, "I am Lindsay Clancy." And that's rather a disturbing trend, I would suggest, simply because, don't want to think that all women are out there plotting to kill their kids, but a lot of people on social media are saying that they came very close to that themselves. And, we're talking about someone who went on the hunt for doctors to over-medicate her, allegedly, gotta say allegedly for all this, so that she'd have an excuse for why she committed these crimes. She researched it, convinced the father to leave so that she'd have time to do it. But yet we have an OBGYN out there saying, yeah, I'm came close to this myself, and I understand it perfectly. Came close to strangling 3 children to death, an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and an 8-month-old. It's disturbing that someone would actually say that out loud and admit to it on social media and, like, expect to get sympathy or something. I'm not sure what the expectation is for this. Why you would come out as an OBGYN and say, yeah, I thought about killing my kids. Wait a minute, what? You're a doctor and you're saying these things? I don't like that. It doesn't sound good. Would not infuse me with confidence in my doctor. So anyway, 3-year-old, 5-year-old, 5-year-old, not an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old and an 8-month-old. That's what it is. And, like, apparently Lindsay Clancy's excuse is that she heard voices do it, but they're gone and totally sane now, 3 years and counting. Now, I don't know anyone that this has worked with, where if they get to that extent of psychosis, suddenly, oh, it's all gone the moment you finish strangling your last child, as if it's like a video game quest, and the moment it's complete, the programming says, all right, time to move on to something else, and we're going to ignore the results. Or like a TV show where the moment you turn it off, it's no longer relevant. Like, that mental illness doesn't really work that way. There isn't just like a switch that shuts things off like that. So that's what we're supposed to believe, though. And it's rather a crazy defense, and the fact that so many people believe it too. Although there's people out there who are saying, well, I saw on the social media that she's a Leo and Leos don't do this to their children because astrology is a science. These are the people who during the pandemic said, we are for science. We are the science. They're the ones who have the signs in their lawns that say, I believe in science. Yet they're out there saying astrology means she didn't do it. Forensic astrology is what someone on social media came up with. And this person's raised $1 million. Actually, I saw last night this contrast between a fundraiser for a single mother who saved her kids from a fire and only got like $60,000 or something from their fundraiser. But Lindsay Clancy, who killed her 3 kids, gets $1 million. Wow. And I can say killed the kids because that's not in dispute. Their lawyer thoroughly acknowledges, yes, this crime was committed. The only thing that I have to say allegedly about is her mental state at the time, because Lord knows it's Massachusetts. You might end up with a jury that decides we believe all women no matter what, unless they're accusing a Democrat of something that they don't believe in at all. I've seen that plenty of times. I talked about that on the Alan Nathan show last week, as a matter of fact, that kind of thinking. But so that's a reason to listen to it, the Alan Nathan show, so that you'll pick up whenever I say, gee whiz, I must have discussed this on a show, but it was that one. Yeah, I will reference my ove of work, so to speak. But anyway, let's flip the script, though, on this Lindsay Clancy stuff where all these people out there saying they want justice for her. It's not really about normalizing justice. It's not about justice. It's about normalizing their darkest thoughts. If this jury agrees that she's innocent, then I'm guilt-free for having the thoughts of killing my kids, too. Now, but let's flip this. Let's say that these are the one. Let's flip this. Let's say it's a man on antidepressants and goes insane and maybe does a mass shooting. Well, look at how these same women have reacted to mass shootings by whites on antidepressants. They insist that the men are to blame for this. It's toxic masculinity. Being a man or a male or a white male is the problem here. These excuses about mental illness only work when it's a woman. You will note that the only time you might see a man rally around a mass shooter is if the shooter is a leftist. Or how about drunk drivers that run into women? Or men who become abusive when drunk? Is that the defense too? After all, just like the women say with Lindsay Clancy, could be you next. You might have a little too much to drink, go out there, run someone over. Maybe you should be considered immune from consequences for your actions. You were out of your mind at the time. You were drunk. But I don't see them rallying around that. It's only this particular issue where it solely benefits women that they see them coming out of the woodworks for. It's all fine to attack. It's a woman's right to murder that's at stake here. But what if the husband had been the one who ever had a psychotic breakdown? Well, perhaps that is a bad example. Women tend to write to serial killers in prison. So, you know, some of these folks out there in Lindsay Clancy's favor might be in favor of that, too. But we're seeing this actually going on at the same time as the same activist women are out there rallying around Carmelo Anthony saying self-defense is not murder. But like we have, much like with Lindsay Clancy, we have evidence that this was premeditated. First of all, bringing a knife to the event in the first place, a school event. You know, I know people who they didn't bring knives to school events. They just had knives on them on school grounds, like in their car or something. And they still got kicked out of school, suspended or expelled from the school for that. Yet here's this guy at a school event with a knife. Oh, that's fine. He's perfectly within his right to do it because he's a black man in a white man's world. Victimhood mentality. He's just like with Lindsay Clancy. She's a woman and she's a mother. And you know, that's another thing, too. The OBGYNs, the particular one that I saw, there's plenty of them out there in support of this, but the one I saw in particular on social media, you know, she was out there saying that, I understand being overwhelmed and stressed as a mother and wanting to kill your children. I mentioned on the Alan Nathan show, like last week, I think, too, about these women saying that they deal with this stress by pretending ice is their children and chucking ice at bathtubs and listening to it break and the sounds of things shattering and stuff that really helps them not murder their children. And it's like, for that reason, they say they feel they have compassion and empathy for Lindsay Clancy. No, first of all, that makes you a psychopath. Second of all, Clancy didn't really have it as tough as these women who were in these positions. Clancy had a maid. She had a nanny for these kids. A nanny that she fired because she said she wanted to spend more time with the children. So that really is very suspicious because she's not, she has no burden with these kids. She deliberately created a burden for herself and then is now claiming that that burden was enough to drive her insane and kill the kids. And women are going for it, saying that their self-created problems, I guess, justify giving them sympathy and pity and immunity from the consequences of their own actions. There's that cause and effect thing again that I was talking about in the opening segment. What does this say about how we've let this toxic feminism infiltrate our society? Toxic femininity. As much as they say we should be opposed to toxic masculinity, well, what about toxic femininity where there is no accountability? You blame everything else. It's empowerment of the narcissistic individual that they have no claim of responsibility. Everything good in their life is theirs and a gift to them. Everything bad in their life, well, someone else did it. Something else did it. You didn't build that. Someone else did. It's all the failures are something else's fault, sexism or mental illness or the stars weren't aligned as the case of astrology, any excuse other than personal responsibility, which, of course, they will rigidly enforce if it's against someone like, say, a Republican rapist or a white male mass shooter. But yes, I did start going into Carmelo Anthony there. For those of you unfamiliar with that case or hadn't paid attention to that and the parallels to this one. This guy showed up at a track meet. I only mentioned that he showed up to a track meet with a knife. I didn't mention that at this particular event, he had texted his girlfriend beforehand that he wanted violence. He was there to kill. He wanted blood on his knife. And so he does that. He kills an athlete. First of all, he does something to deliberately provoke others into a conflict. And when he does that deliberate provocation, instead of de-escalating and obeying the rules of the event, he decides to kill. And liberals say that this is self-defense. That is self-defense right there, when you decide to murder somebody who isn't threatening your life in any way, shape, or form, who's just asking you leave and then tries to remove you by picking you up. Oh, that's enough to warrant stabbing someone to death because it's a black on white. If the races were reversed, then it would just be a case of white privilege and entitlement. They'd want the death penalty, just like with Lindsay Clancy. If it were a man who did it to their kids, they'd want the death penalty too. But again, it's going back to what I said in the opening segment, that this is not about equality, feminism, civil rights. None of that is about equality. It's about supremacy. It's about creating privileges for you based on your race and gender. The same thing they accuse whites of having done for generations. Now it's their turn. Now they want to be doing it. well, white males, because we have women doing this as well, trying to create privileges for themselves in society and trying to create rules that remove them of personal accountability or any reason they should be feeling guilty and have guilty conscience.
What is going on? Okay, we need to get out of here.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
Move.
Move.
Stakes are high in the season finale of Patience, the hit British crime series that captivated viewers this summer on PBS. The thrilling season comes to a dramatic close this Sunday night, and all episodes are available on PBS Passport and PBS Masterpiece on Prime Video. Patience follows an autistic criminal records clerk named Patience Evans, who uses her unique analytical skills to solve murder cases. In the season finale, Patience and D.I. Monroe are held hostage by an escaped prisoner seeking justice, and time is running out. Patience joins PBS's extensive catalog of mysteries. From beloved classics to newer hits, there's a mystery around every corner, and mystery loves company. Don't miss the season finale of Patience this Sunday at 8 p.m. 7 Central on PBS. And stream the entire series on PBS Passport and PBS Masterpiece on Prime Video.
When 17-year-old Chris Meyer came home sick, his parents thought he was coming down with the flu. A day later, the high school senior died from meningococcal meningitis. His mother, Leslie, is sharing his story to help avoid similar tragedies.
I never knew there was an infection that could kill a healthy child in less than 24 hours, but meningococcal meningitis can do that. Meningitis spreads through respiratory droplets, so being around other kids, sharing water bottles, and kissing can transmit the disease. I didn't know that a vaccine may have helped to prevent my family's tragedy. In honor of my son Chris, I'm raising awareness about meningococcal vaccination so other families don't go through what we did.
The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends two doses of the MenACWY vaccine, the first at age 11 or 12, and a booster at age 16 when teens are at highest risk for meningococcal disease, which can be unpredictable and potentially devastating. This back-to-school season, discuss the importance of vaccination with your child's healthcare team. This message is sponsored by Sanofi.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loves sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Silk Radio Show. By Silk Radio Show co-host Joe with you all today. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the show. We are joined for this last segment by Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld. She is the founder and president of the New York-based American Center for Democracy and the Economic Warfare Institute. She is author of Funding Evil, How Terrorism is Financed and How to Stop It. Dr. Ehrenfeld, appreciate you joining us. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. So actually, this topic might also tie in with your other book, The Soros Agenda, a little bit, because there's this dark money network out there, or there's lots of dark money networks out there, I guess, that have kind of fake newspapers to pretend that they're local or something like that, when really they're funded by outside sources. And we're seeing one in Michigan called the Michigan Independent. It's part of this outlet, this media outlet nationwide owned by David Brock. I think he's one of those like PBS talking heads or something. But thing that the Michigan Independent sent out, it was just loaded with fake information about the Democrat candidate there, lying that he was even in the military at all, calling him a veteran, not just someone who served, but an actual veteran. And then also saying that he's a doctor when, I mean, I think he has the doctorate or something, but he hasn't ever been licensed to practice as medicine, even though he has described himself as a physician in the past. What are you seeing?
Well, David Brock has been the spokesperson of the started with Hillary when he turned and received a lot of money, millions of dollars from Soros over the years. By the way, in 2023, according to Capital Research Center, which has done a lot of work on Soros, and I quote him in my book, The Soros Agenda, by January 23, Soros had given more than $21 billion with a B, dollars for political purposes in the United States. So David Brock was one of the recipients. He has been receiving money from them since 2010. He had been... the newspaper, it's not only just any Democrat candidate. This is the Democrat communist, Islamist, socialist, whatever candidate, Mr. El-Sayed, who says that, well, no, you know, what 9/11? And with that, he actually now, the Canadian actually broadcasting services were told by the government not to mention that 9/11 was a terrorist attack. So either they are listening to him or to the candidate, or maybe they also receive money from Soros, who knows, because he's been giving money to everybody to defame America, to create chaos in America. So, interestingly, in order to have more readership, this newspaper actually published also all kinds of recipes. And so among the recipes that they had was also a recipe for blueberry cake or cherry cake or something. And I suggest to anyone who gets this paper not to follow the recipe, because they will probably have some food poisoning. which they are likely to have if they are going to elect this candidate.
Yeah, it seems almost like you slide these articles in among light fluff, like recipes and things like that, just so that you're critical thinking skills are turned off, because you're not going to be looking for bias in a recipe. And then, you see this article over here. It's like, well, I'm already mentally primed to trust this outlet for the recipe. And here's this thing here about this candidate, even though it's full of lies.
Yeah, and they are supporting. So it seems like when you have recipes, it's also to support cooking for the family, right? So there are all kinds of secondary messages with these papers. And by the way, he has he controls, Soros controls at least 30 of the mainstream media outlets in the United States. New York Times, he has interest in them, shares whatever, influences them for sure. New York Times, Washington Post, AP, CNN, ABC, NPR, and there are all kinds of other projects, like Project Syndicate that publishes things, different websites and social media outlets, and as well as more than 400 radio stations. The reach of the socialist, I guess this is really Leninist-type socialist, which now the what used to be the Democratic Party, and they are working hand in hand with the Muslims, as we see with the Fayyad, who they are promoting.
Hmm. Yeah, and we know how alliances like that end, and like with Iran, that's how it started. It was the leftists and the Muslims, they worked together. And then when they finally took power, the leftists were not just thrown under the bus. They were ran over or just outright shot. So why would leftists now think this is a great thing to do? I mean, does George Soros, for example, think, hey, if I just keep throwing money at it, the Muslims will change and we'll just have power? Or what's the thinking here?
He thinks that the West is I don't know, not worth support. He wants to create chaos. So, and the United States is the main target. Like, for Iran, America is a big Satan. For Soros, America is a big Satan. He actually spoke out against America many, many, many times, the father, George Soros. Alex has his criticism too, and they continue to fund. So for the midterm election, the first thing that they did, they allocated $130 million back in June. But how much more they gave, I guess we will find out later.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Ehrenfeld, appreciate you joining this Silk or Joe show to talk about this. Where can listeners find more of your work?
ACdemocracy.org, and my book is on Amazon.com, The Soros Agenda.
All right. Well, thank you for being on. And listeners, appreciate you all tuning into this hour of The Silk or Joe Show. Of course, our website is MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-978-0600 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.